You must see quite a parade of humanity every day driving around these streets.
Oh. Sometimes it's just like an HBO movie.
James Gant will introduce himself to you as Ak Adama. He's a driver for Baltimore's Blue Cab Company. Ak was born here in the city. He's got three kids and three grandchildren, and he's got an incredible sense of calm about him, especially considering the chaotic and gritty streets that he navigates every day on the job.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 30 years, Aaron, off and on. Used to be a correction officer.
No kidding.
Yeah, I also did this part-time while I was a correction officer.
What got you inspired to start driving a cab?
Money. This is the type of job you can come out the house with 12 cents in your pocket, and 15 hours, you may have $175. It depends on the day.
There's a small library of books stacked on Ak's dashboard, including the Quran and a book about the health benefits of garlic. Next to his cab driver's certification badge, a black and white photo is wedged. It's a picture of Malcolm X with a spiritual third eye taped to his forehead. Hanging from Ak's rearview mirror is a string of white cori shells. He says they're protection against voodoo. Ak wears a green macrame skull cap. He watches the road from behind dark sunglasses, and he smiles sarcastically from under his gray beard when he rolls past a police cruiser.
Cab companies in this city has something with the police department. It's called Taxi on Patrol, and this is where cab drivers see a crime, we report it. So we're the eyes for the Baltimore City Police Department, but we don't get no respect from the police.
Do the police generally give cab drivers a hard time when they're on the road? You get pulled over by?
Man, every time I get stopped by a police, I call my undertaker. Tell him I just might be under cardiac arrest. No, the police are very arrogant when they stop cab drivers. And I know why. Because the majority of the fleet cab drivers in this town are foreigners. Pakistanians, Indians, Nigerians, Jamaicans, Ethiopians. So the police definitely profiles us.
Ak is a philosophical guy. He's in tune with the ironies that surround him on the streets, and he seems to have figured out how to repel the bitterness that surrounds him with a wry sense of humor. One of the things Ak does to preserve his sanity on the job is to stop every so often and to get out of the cab when he sees something particularly beautiful, like a skyline, or especially funny, like a cop taking a nap in his patrol car. Ak says he carries a camera with him for just such occasions.
I also have a tape recorder here. And every time I'm stopped by police, I tell the police officer, this conversation is monitored for quality control. How can I help you? And you'd be surprised. The attitude changed. They'll start calling you sir. They monitor us, don't they? Every time you call the police, they taping you, right? So I'm out here policing them like they police me.
It seems like there are a lot of cards stacked against you if you're a guy trying to make a living driving a cab. There's the antagonistic relationship with the police, the price of gas, and the fact that most cab drivers lease their vehicles from a fleet. That means the first $75 you make goes directly back to the cab company. And then there's the hacks. Hacks are unlicensed independent drivers who troll around for anyone who's standing on the side of the road doing that signature gesture of dangling their index finger.
I'm glad they got hacks because they pick up my trash. I'm serious. Some of that stuff out there, they want a hack I would not pick up. You know, they'll get in a hack. They'll stick a hack up. They'll rob a hack. No. They pick up cab drivers' trash.
I was curious about like what. Cab companies' policies are about like who you must and aren't obliged to pick up. I mean, is it up to your discretion about like whether or not? I mean, if there's some guy standing covered with blood holding a shotgun, you probably don't have to pick him up.
On a slow night, I'll pick him up. I'll pick up Frankenstein on a slow night.
Have you had, like, episodes where someone's tried to threaten you or rob you?
Every night, Aaron. Somebody just threw a brick at me last night. Put a dent in the side of the cab.
Just out of the blue?
Yeah, just out of the blue. You know, in the hood. They throw a rock, a bottle at you, and it's called a ghetto grenade. I don't know. It must be the light or the taxi makes them want to throw something at a taxi. You know what the biggest fear of a cab driver? Not being stuck up. The biggest fear of a cab driver is not being tipped. That's my biggest fear. I've actually had passengers to get in there and the meter is $2.80 and they waiting on 20 cents. So, yeah, that's a surprise.
It must feel like thankless work sometimes.
Every day.
What keeps you persistent at it? There must be some sort of appeal to it.
Yeah, 45 minutes from living in the street. How's that?
So do you remember the first day you went up, took a cab out?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
What was that like?
I almost lost my life that night.
How so?
Someone coming through a red light. First night. I only made $5 that night.
Ock believes fundamentally that he and his fellow cab drivers get no respect from anyone, period. Customers think of them as almost subhuman automatons, people who simply can't exist in the world outside of their driver's seat on the other side of the plexiglass divider. It's an interesting prejudice, especially because it has the effect of making customers feel like they can speak about their lives with absolutely no self-censoring.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what people tell a cab driver, some intimate things, very intimate things. They thinking they're not going to see that cab driver ever again, but that's not true. I picked up a guy one night, and he was picked him up over his girlfriend's house. He was married. And he was telling me what he was doing. He was cheating on his wife, whole nine yards. And the next day, I picked that same guy up, him and his family. And he looked at me and he felt bad. Because I knew.
On this weekday afternoon, Ock has been trolling up and down Pennsylvania Avenue, Utah Street, and the Inner Harbor. We've seen tourists, car accidents, drug corners, but no one needs a ride today. Ock slows down on Baltimore Street and stops his cab at a curb in front of one of the strip clubs on the block.
And we'll sit here on the block for a second.
And for those, for radio listeners outside of the city limits, so explain a little bit about what the block is and what the history is.
Well, the block, this is infamous. It's red light, Baltimore Street. Get anything down here on Baltimore Street. Get a whore, you can get some drugs, you can buy a gun, or whatever. This is Baltimore Street.
Ock says he considers this a good spot to hopefully catch a fare who wants a longer ride, possibly someone going back to D.C. or Annapolis. Who you get, ultimately, is the luck of the draw. It could be someone who wants to pay big bucks for a ride all the way to Atlantic City. Or it could just as easily be someone who ends up hopping out of the cab and running away without paying. Ock says the latter happens more often than he'd like, but it's just one of the realities of the job.
You know, quiet desperation. A person's trying to get somewhere and they have no money, they can't catch no bus. So what they do, you know, they get in a cab and tell the cab driver where they're going. And once they get to their destination, they might come up and say, listen, I have to go in the house and get the money, and they never come out. Pick this guy up. He's going to Towson. He has some groceries, about 8 or 9 bags of groceries. I stopped, picked him up, going to Towson. Fare, $30. And once we get in the apartment complex, he says, I'm going in the house. I'm going to get the money. I'll be right back. Got the groceries in the back. So I said, fine. So I'm sitting out there for 20 minutes, 30, 40. Still didn't show. I said, well, that's all right. I got his groceries. So I drove back into the city. went home, went in the back of the cab to get the groceries to take in the house, and it was 8 bags of garbage. Yeah, they played the tricks. They played the tricks.
Have you ever thought about doing limousine driving? I imagine that's kind of a different sort of gig.
Oh, man, I don't have the persona for that. You know, the suit, the white tie, jumping out, opening and closing doors for people. I don't have that. I don't have that. But driving a cab, you have your freedom. You know, work when you want to. You have no one to answer to. No, not a limousine.
I'm sure everybody asks you if you've watched the movie Taxi Driver.
That's one of my favorite. You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? One of my favorites.
Ak has been riding around the city now for an hour without snagging a single fare. He seems amused that I'm so surprised at how hard it is to get a customer. The fact is, after he drops me off, he'll stay in this cab for another 14 hours working the streets. He'll pull an all-nighter. He'll have a busy stretch after a ball game gets out downtown. He'll make some decent money, and at the end of his shift, he'll make the mistake of parking illegally. He'll come back out to the street after a few hours, and he'll find that his cab has been impounded. Ak says it's desperation that makes someone drive a cab. But it also seems like there's something in it for a man who embraces his sense of independence and his feelings of alienation with equal fervor. It almost seems like an act of faith.
Like I say, man, driving a cab is like fishing. You got to be lucky, you know? You got to be lucky. That's all it is. It's all about luck. Frustration, too. Frustration, man.
Taxi driver James Gant, a.k.a. Ak Adama. He drives for Baltimore's Blue Cab Company, and he took the time this week to let us ride around town with him during one of his shifts.